One of the scriptures that we read this week in Bible school was the story of Elijah in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. Elijah has, a couple chapters before, had quite a successful contest with the prophets of the false god Baal. But now, the powers that be, the king and queen, are after him. He fears for his life. And so we read these words, the word of the Lord. Then Elijah was afraid, and he got up and fled for his life. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and sat down under a solitary broom tree, and he asked that he might die. He lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. And suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And he looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God, which in other places in the Bible is called Sinai, Mount Sinai, where Moses went to meet with God and where Moses was given the Ten Commandments. At that place, on the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and he spent the night there. And the Lord said, "Go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. And there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "Well, I've been zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go and return on your way." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You can find spiritual wisdom in strange places, and so I want to quote to you the great theologian Woody Allen, who really is not a theologian, and in many ways not too great. He doesn't really believe in God, at least not much. He calls himself, with respect to God, he says, "I'm the loyal opposition." But once Woody Allen said that 80% of life is just showing up. 80% of life is just showing up. If you think about that, there's a lot of truth in those words. Sometimes the most important thing is just being where you ought to be when you ought to be there. You know, whether it's showing up for the birthday party, whether it's your kids or your mother's, whether it's being there in the hospital when some you care about is ill, whether it's a graduation, which sometimes can be the most boring and long events ever, but you just need to be there, or at the funeral home, where nobody, ministers included, knows what to say because nothing can fix it. And yet, just showing up is what's really important. You could preach a pretty good Father's Day sermon on the idea that as dads, we just need to show up in the lives of our children, to show up regularly at the right time. And just showing up is something that our kids will remember for the rest of their lives. Well, you could say that's sort of what the Bible is about, is about God showing up. How does God show up? The whole Bible is about the ways in which God shows up in the lives of his people. And when you come right down to the story of Jesus, that's what that's all about, isn't it? I mean, that God doesn't just send us words, but God actually shows up in person, in human flesh and bone. God shows up. Well, today in our scripture, Elijah wants God to show up. Now, God showed up pretty powerfully a couple chapters before, but this seems to be one of those cases of what have you done for me lately, because Elijah wants God to show up now. He's discouraged, he's depressed, he's in despair. He thinks he's the only one left who's faithful to God, and he wants to give up his life. So where does God show up in Elijah's life? I just want to lift up a few of the places, not that these are the only places God shows up in your life or mine, but here, just in this short story, where does God show up? Well, the first place is when Elijah's on his journey. He's laying down in the wilderness. He has no food or drink, and it says an angel of the Lord showed up to give him cake and water. Now, you know, we ministers have tons of books on our shelves written by Bible scholars about what all the words in the Bible mean. And it's one scholar I was reading this week was incensed at our Bible translators for translating it that it was an angel of the Lord. Because as he noted, which is true, that the word for angel also means messenger, a messenger of the Lord. And he said, you know, when you say angel, you think of winged creatures and flying things and all that. He said, there's every bit the possibility that this angel of the Lord was a human being, just like you or me, who showed up, took compassion on this person who had nothing to eat, nothing to drink, and gave it to him. That this messenger of the Lord was just that. And you know how sometimes when people show up on your doorstep after you've lost a loved one with food, sometimes you'll say about that person, oh, well, she was an angel. Or when someone comes to visit you in the hospital, you might even say, oh, it was like an angel came. People like you and me can be messengers of the Lord. So sometime today, think about who are your holy people, who have been the messengers of the Lord in your life at those times when you, like Elijah, were discouraged in despair. Now also you know that in the story, Elijah is on a journey and he's going to a special place, a holy place. He's going to Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, where Moses himself was face to face with God, where Moses was given the Ten Commandments. Now, when we would say, well, where are our holy places? Some people would say, well, church, of course. Church is a holy place. And church is a holy place, I believe. But I do know people that say, you know, I've been to church and I never experienced God there. It hasn't been a holy place for me. Well, no one ever said that the church is the only place that's holy. In fact, the church is exactly the opposite. The church is a place that we say, well, this is holy ground as a sign to remember that all the places of the earth can be holy ground if we're only opening our eyes. You know, God shows up everywhere. If you read the scriptures, does God come to the temple or to the synagogue or to the gathered people in worship? Sure, but God is also showing up on mountaintops. God is showing up on street corners. God shows up at weddings. The world is literally drenched with the presence of God if you're looking for it. So think sometime today, think about where are your holy places? Maybe it's a lawn chair in your backyard after you've cut the lawn and you've got that great smell of fresh cut grass and a glass of lemonade in your hand. Maybe it's going for a walk along your favorite path. Maybe it's sitting somewhere with your eyes closed. Who knows? What is it? But what is the holy place? What are your holy places where God shows up for you? You'll notice at the end of this story, what does God say after Elijah comes out? God says, go, go. And God sends Elijah back to the world from whence he came, back to anoint two kings and a prophet. He gives him something to do. And very often that's where God shows up in our lives, when we're not thinking about ourselves, where we're not preoccupied with our own needs and wants and desires, but when we're actually giving ourselves away for love. What are the times you've given yourself away? And think about whether that was a moment where God showed up in your life. And last but certainly not least in this story, where Elijah, full of despair and depression and discouragement, when does God show up for him here in this, the climax of this story? It's not in the earthquake, it's not in the wind, not in the fire. It's in the sound of sheer silence, the scripture says. Sometimes silence can be incredibly loud. And sometimes God shows up in exactly that moment when we're at the end of our rope, when we have no resources left within ourselves. There is a comfort, there is a courage, there is a strength, there's a hope that comes to us from beyond ourselves. And that too is when God shows up in our lives. So look for God out there in the world, because the world is drenched with the presence of God, and sometimes you find that presence in the most unexpected places. And today on Father's Day, with kids, so many kids here, I was thinking about my own kids and the stories that I read to them for years and years, and I must have read this story hundreds of times to my kids without ever really thinking about the story on another level. It's called The Runaway Bunny. Margaret Wise Brown, the same lady who wrote Goodnight Moon, and the pictures are Clement Hurd. And it goes like this. Once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away, so he said to his mother, "I am running away." "If you run away," said his mother, "I will run after you, for you are my little bunny." "If you run after me," said the little bunny, "I will become a fish in a trout stream and then swim away from you." "If you become a fish in a trout stream," said his mother, "I will become a fisherman and I will fish for you." "If you become a fisherman," said the little bunny, "I will become a rock on the mountain high above you." "If you become a rock on a mountain high above me," his mother said, "I will become a mountain climber and I will climb to where you are." "If you become a mountain climber," said the little bunny, "I will be a crocus in a hidden garden." "If you become a crocus in a hidden garden," said his mother, "I will be a gardener and I will find you." "If you're a gardener and find me," said the little bunny, "I will be a bird and fly away from you." "If you become a bird and fly away from me," said his mother, "I will be a tree that you come home to." "If you become a tree," said the little bunny, "I will become a little sailboat and I will sail away from you." "If you become a sailboat and sail away from me," said his mother, "I will become the wind and blow you where I want you to go." "If you become the wind," said the little bunny, "I will join a circus and fly away on a flying trapeze." "If you go flying on a flying trapeze," said his mother, "I will be a tightrope walker and I will walk across the air to you." "If you become a tightrope walker and walk across the air," said the bunny, "I will become a little boy and run into a house." "If you become a little boy and run into a house," said the mother bunny, "I will become your mother and catch you in my arms and hug you." "Shucks," said the bunny, "I might just as well stay where I am and be your little bunny." And so he did. "Have a carrot," said the mother bunny. I read that story hundreds of times to my kids and never once thought of the words from the 139th Psalm, "O Lord, where can I flee from your spirit? Where can I hide from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand holds me. Even if I go to the place of the dead, there your right hand holds me." So I think it's just fine if you climb mountains. I think it's just fine if you find hidden gardens, if you sail away on sailboats, become a tightrope walker. But just remember that wherever it is that you go, God will show up there, because this world is drenched with the presence of God. And let all God's people say, Amen.